I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Elliot Short Parks right now. He's brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Dude, when you signed up to be an Eagles beat reporter, holy mackerel.
I always tell people it's never, ever, ever a boring day.
It's not exactly T.O. doing sit-ups in the driveway, which might be the all-time all-timer, or Michael Vick being signed, which might be the other all-time all-timer. But, Elliot, you know what's incredible? They're a freaking boring football team on the field, but off the field, all hell's breaking loose sometimes.
Well, the other thing that's incredible, like, I think back to Sunday, and I completely understand the emotion of them not playing well. Like, I 100% get that from the fans' base, from the fans' perspective. I rewatched the game yesterday, and I know people don't want to hear this, but I actually thought Sunday was a step in the right direction. It wasn't the step everyone wanted them to take, but I do think they look like an improved football team. So that, at its core, is probably, I would think.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, Elliot.
So maybe that's what Nick was all excited about.
So we haven't talked much about that. I did not see that. That's not what I saw. I saw a team that won a game because A.J. Brown's amazing and the Browns stink. But give me, inside the game, what encouraged you for the remainder of the season with the Eagles?
Well, first I would say they only won because of A.J. Brown thing. Like, the good news is A.J.'s on the team. He wasn't a rent-a player for the day. So they are going to have him for the rest of the season.
Sure.
So you're right. A.J. being a great player does make them a better team. I agree with you on that. But when I watched the game, I saw three really important things that I thought were major improvements. One, not only did Jalen not turn the ball over, he didn't even come close to turning it over. Like, there's been games, at pretty much every game actually, where we'll say, okay, he had an interception, but he could have had three or four more. The biggest problem with this team was the turnovers. And I know it's only one game, but coming out of the bye week, it does look like it was the best job they've done taking care of the ball. I also thought that Jalen was outstanding against the blitz. And I know he's been good against it this year, but both of his touchdowns came against the blitz. I thought he made smart decisions with the football. And as much as the Browns are bad, and they are, their defense is not terrible. So I thought it was an encouraging performance from the offense. Even though 20 points isn't enough, they did kill the final 4 minutes of the clock to seal the game out. So I definitely understand wanting to see them win by 14, 20. Like, I get that for sure. But if you remove the emotion of it, I do think they played a better football game than they had prior.
Elliot, how important is it that Nick sets an example of emotional control and composure for his players on game day?
So I do think there is definitely an argument for that, 100%. Like, if you look at the Jalen Carter thing a few weeks ago against the Saints, I understand that while on face surface you can look and go, how can Nick look at Jalen Carter and tell him to calm down when Nick's yelling at the fans? I completely get that. But I do think there's two ways to look at this. One, it's how this is viewed outside the building, and it's how it's viewed inside the building. And I can only take the players at their word, but every player I've talked to since this happened has liked it and supported Nick for it. So while I do think it is important he sets the right tone for the team, I think we're viewing this as something that's going to hurt him as a coach in that building. I actually think it's going to help him as a coach with his players in that building.
That's interesting.
Wow. Okay. Why is the offense so simple, Elliot? It feels like things have actually streamlined to where it's simpler than what we started the season at. And what we thought was this thing was going to evolve, and we're going to see an under-center play-actioning, pre-snap motioning offense that's brought up to speed with what the rest of the NFL is doing. I'm not seeing that. It's kind of the opposite is transforming.
Yeah, I think they're running the offense that they think best suits Jalen Hurts. And they're also running the offense that Jalen Hurts calls at the line of scrimmage. I mean, Jalen Hurts changes the play quite a bit at the line of scrimmage. And we saw that this past Sunday when him and AJ signaled to the play that ended up winning the game, right? So a lot of what you see from the offense is Jalen Hurts. We've been through Shane Steichen. We've been through Brian Johnson. We've been through now Kellen Moore. And the offense always kind of looks the same. The one common denominator is Jalen Hurts. And it's funny because if you think back to Chip Kelly's time here, right? a big criticism everyone had of him was he was going to run his offense no matter what the personnel was, right? Remember, he was doing
it was a huge flaw. It really
was. With Sam Bradford, right? So I don't think – I think the coaches are doing the opposite of that. Like, everyone wants him to run under center and do all these things. They are running what they feel, along with Jalen, is best for Jalen.
Elliot, let's talk about – and I agree with you on that. Let's talk about – and I don't like it, but I agree with you. Let's talk about some of the injuries. I mean, I feel like it's like some big injuries that have been obscured in the last 40 hours because of all the other storylines.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mulata, Goddard, and Slay, what can you tell us?
So, Mulata, I think, is – like, I would almost just expect him not to play again this season because I think even if he does play again this season – it's going to be really, really hard for him to miss the amount of time he's going to miss. I would guess 3-4 games, if not more, to come back at his size, miss the middle of the season, and play at a high level. And that's not about him. It's just about a human his size. Like, we've seen offensive and defensive linemen miss time in season, and it is so hard to come back and play at a high level. So the Mulata injury is definitely a major concern. Goddard, I think you're going to see him miss probably at least the next 2 or 3 games. And then I think he'll come back, and we'll see, you know, how he is coming off the injury. And then Slay, I don't have any like updated inside info on that one. But yeah, 2 big injuries, losses for sure with Goddard and Mulata.
Yeah, it's big time. You know, Elliot, I want to ask you a Twitter poll question of the day. I'm curious your answer here. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new 2025 Equinox sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. So, Elliot, you are like the one person. Phil's Mets series, you said Mets in 4. People wouldn't want to hear it. You said it. Yeah. I compliment you for, you know, getting it right. So get this one right, no matter what the answer is. The Eagles are a blank football team. Good, average, or bad? What's the answer?
I think they're average. I think they're average right now. But I'm happy you brought the Phillies up because I actually think, and I love talking about the Eagles every single day. I love power rankings. I love talking about how they're playing. What the Phillies taught us was it truly does not matter, right? The Phillies were the best team in baseball for what, half the season, 60% of the season, whatever it was. And then they won one playoff game and got bounced in 4 games. So as discouraging as it was to watch the Eagles, to a certain extent, play the way they did on Sunday, the reality is they won and the rest of the NFC East lost. And that is a step in the right direction.
True.
So they're an average team for sure right now. But I just... after seeing the Phillies, I can't get worked up about it because it's so long until it matters.
Elliot, are we better than everyone else in our division, or are the Commies surpassing us?
I think the Commodores are better. I do. Or Commanders, sorry, Commodores.
Commodores. got Lionel Richie in the division.
Yeah. Right. Everyone says their name wrong intentionally. It throws it off. But the Commanders. I think they're better, and I think they're better for 2 reasons. 1, they look like a better coach team, and 2, I think they have a better quarterback. So if you have those 2 things, it's hard not to look at you as a better team. And they played well against the Ravens. That's a tough game to go to Baltimore. So I think they're 1 right now, but I would put the Eagles 2.
Elliot, love having you on the show, pal. We'll talk to you Friday before the game. I don't know how the Eagles are going to beat the Giants without Boston Scott. I'm already a little sad about that. No more Boston Scott up there, but hopefully Saquon takes care of business. Thanks, Elliot.
Yeah, talk to you guys.
All right, thanks, bye. Elliot. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Mike. He's calling from Douglasville right now. Reminder, Nick Sirianni with us in about 6 minutes. Mike, good morning.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, Mike.
So my thing with Sirianni, I mean, yeah, his antics get a little old and his nonsense is whatever. But if I was to focus on everything this guy says and be mad about it, I'd still be mad about the first press conference. My thing is the X's and O's and in between the lines on Sundays or whatever day of the week they play. What I don't understand is back in 2021 when Nick was calling the offense, I didn't know what the heck I was watching. Then it got better, which we learned was Steichen. 2022, we had the RPO-based offense, and it was dynamic, and it looked awesome. 2023, once again, Nick Sirianni is more involved in it, and I don't know what the heck I was watching. And now, so far this year...
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All
I was told it was going to be something different. Kellen Moore was supposed to bring a different dynamic to this offense, and we were supposed to see more. You know, the under center, the option, or the play action, and everything like that. Once again, I don't know what the heck I'm watching.
So look, Mike, I think there's 2 points here, and they're totally different points. Let me just state them. One is that I agree with Elliot, and I've said this for a while. I think they run what they feel Jalen is best at and most comfortable with. That may limit the offense, but I think it's a fact. I can't prove it, but I believe it. Say it again.
My part with that comment mm-hmm. there is it comes down to coaching. You know, when I coach kids,
I agree.
I try to put them in positions where, yes, in game, they're comfortable. But in practice, I put them in positions where they're uncomfortable because you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Look, I agree with you. I agree.
Was Tom Brady the GOAT when he got drafted? No, he got drafted in the 6th round, and coaching got him to where he got.
I hear you. Unless they think he would flat stink and be an under center. I mean, I don't know, but that's I hear you. All right, here's my second point, Mike. And you touched on something I think is really important that hasn't gotten enough discussion because so many other things have. It just feels like he's still got his hands too in this offense, and that, you know, it seemed like Lurie and Howie stripped him of power, but maybe didn't go as far as people would have preferred.
Well, I mean, just Grant, he's the head coach. He's
I know that's where it's complicated.
He can do things like that, but like now he's admitting he's calling, and I don't think it's to the extent where he's calling a physical play. Maybe he's saying, you know,
no, he is.
Hey, go
he,
cover he, three. No, well, I mean.
Well, you mean the cover? You mean defensively?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he's like, I want to run the ball here. I want to throw the ball deep. I want to throw it short, or yes. You know, I want to see cover three.
I would imagine that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go cover four. That makes me feel better here.
Yeah, I get it. If it's something like that, I get it. He can have his hand in that. I don't think he's physically sitting there with a play sheet saying, you know, this is the exact play we got to run.
All right, Mike, give me an answer here, my man. Who needs to apologize?
You know, I try to be a nice person. I really do. I try to hold doors open for people and everything like that. And when I hold a door open for somebody and they walk past me and don't say, like, thank you or something, it pisses me off. So every single one of those people should apologize.
It's a great answer.
So are you expecting the thank you when you do it?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Doesn't that take away the altruistic nature of it?
It sort of works against what you're doing.
When somebody holds it for me, I say thank you.
Of course, but that doesn't mean that if someone doesn't say thank you, that you shouldn't be doing it for the thank you.
James, no one does it for the thank you. You do it to be a courteous human.
Yeah, agreed. So you should be whether you're thanked or not, like, honestly, shouldn't really matter.
Yeah, I don't think
we're being real about it.
Nope, disagree. You and I are disagreeing on a lot here today,
James.
Good.
I like
it. That's okay.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.